You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So guys like to talk shit in the league, obviously. That's well documented. Are you ever talking shit back to him in Croatian? Because if I'm guarding you, I don't know what you're saying. He might be clowning me.
I'll talk my shit in English.
There we go. Let him know.
What's up? This is Out of Pocket Zach. Tell him what type of show this is.
It's a weekly NBA review show. Is that good? Yeah. I'm Zach Schwartz.
We already started? I'm good. No, let's go. Josiah Johnson.
I'm the Jethro Jingles, and this week we have a special guest, Ivica Zubac. How do I did a good, cool.
Pass.
Cool.
Zubac.
Didn't storm out. Yeah, that's good. That's
right,
good.
Right.
Because we respect you, we're going to say your name correctly.
So you have a couple nicknames, you know what I mean? Zublock, Zupac, Zual Cinder, and the internet is calling you the White Wilt. You feel me? Like,
I didn't hear that.
What nickname you prefer? What nickname you prefer?
I don't know, man. Zublock is pretty good. Zupac, yeah. I like Zupac.
Okay, for sure.
That was
for
my
sure.
favorite.
Yeah,
I never heard White Wilt.
We saw the White Wilt, man. Come on, that's crazy. That's fire.
I got to think about it.
30 or 29. That's Wilt.
Get the merch going.
Right.
He's the Black Zoo.
He's the Zoal Cinder. When I saw that one, I was like, I was a fan of that one.
Zoal Cinder is fire. That's crazy. Yeah.
We have a section on our show called Out of Pocket of the Week. We have Terrence Mann on here, your teammate. And we asked him, who's the most out-of-pocket guy on the team? Who's making everyone laugh? And he said, you, right? Any impression that, like, what would you say? What would you, you know, what title would you give Terrence Mann?
What title?
Because there was another thing he gave us about you. And he said you were the guy that they were taking the aux cord from. That you were the guy that they're yanking the aux cord from. And we were shocked to hear that.
You got to ask the other guys. But if he says so, that's what it is. I don't know about Terrence Mann.
Yeah.
He can be out of pocket too.
Oh, good.
Hey,
damn.
Hey, let us know.
We got that little group, me, him, Mir Coffey. You know, we hang out a lot. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of out of pocket stuff going on.
Do you have Spotify?
Yeah.
Can I ask you what was in your year in review? Your top five artists? Just because
you don't know any of them.
Okay, so that's why the aux cord gets taken.
You don't know, I think.
But are they bangers? Are they making heat?
Hey, drop some real
Future
quick.
Future was number five.
Okay, all right, okay.
Top four is from back home.
Okay, right on. All right.
What's the first one? I'm trying to tap in, you feel me?
Expand our knowledge.
You know what I mean?
Jala Brat.
Bangers?
Okay.
All bangers?
Yeah.
I'm going to tap in, bro. Right.
Who'd you compare that to?
It's hard. It's,
I know Dub Brat. I don't know.
Bro,
it's hard to compare it to American artists. Oh,
but bangers, though?
Yeah, it's like it's hip-hop mix. Like.
For sure. So Terrence Mann said you like to clown, so I want to know, of all your Clippers teammates, who's the easiest one for you to clown on?
That's just a lot, man.
Easy bucket. The whole squad is getting it?
Yeah. Like, I told, like, you know, whoever, but...
Anybody could get it?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. I respect it.
Terrence Mann and Mir Coffey, those are
easy.
My guys. So.
Okay.
We go at each other all the time.
So I got to take you back. Obviously, you came with the Lakers. Larry Nance Jr. was one of your vets when you came through. He said he introduced you to West Coast rap.
It's not true.
It's a lie?
He's out here lying on the internet. Lying to the man.
I knew something about it before, you know, coming back from home. But it was actually one of my friends from back home that grew up on the same street. Like, he was the only person probably in the country that was listening to West Coast rap.
Oh, and he put you on it?
He put me on a little bit. So I knew some of the stuff when I came here, but Larry was, he was helpful.
So Larry was rocking the Zupac shirt.
Yeah.
It was one of the first kind of incarnations of the meme culture around yourself. But I want to know, you listen to Tupac, and if so, what's your favorite Tupac song?
I listened before I met Larry Nance. I listened to Tupac. there's a lot of good Tupac songs. It's hard to say one of them. But,
okay. I will roll with that and respect it.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
You just go Spotify, Tupac, and whatever plays. Like,
okay.
Let it run.
With the whole play, for sure.
Yeah.
Respect.
So 30 points and 29 rebounds, not 30 and 30. You feel me? You
got, you
and you was frustrated, I can see. How hot were you Not getting that last rebound, my G.
So sick.
Would you?
No, I was so mad, man. I never had a 20-20 game. So like I was chasing that for a while, but you know, I had 20-20 in the third quarter. Some of the guys were telling like, okay, can we get some rebounds now? I was like, nah, let me try to go for 30.
No.
So,
man, can we get some boards then?
Last 6-7 minutes, mm-hmm. like we were up by like 15-20. So, you know, we was just trying to get the ball to me. And,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, to get over 30 points. And we kind of, everyone figured out, I'm going to get 30 boards.
You were thinking about missing a layup or something like that? Like,
anybody on your squad trying to brick to help you get it? Because if I'm your teammate, I know you close to 30, I'm straight. Like, I'm angling it right towards you. Dink. Here you go. Oops. Yeah. Like you said, like, oops.
Ricky Davis did that, right? He called his own. off the glass.
30 or 30, I'll pull Ricky Davis fucking out. I don't give a fuck what nobody thinks.
On the wrong hook?
You're right.
It's a quick one.
That was like 4 minutes on the clock when I fouled out, so I thought I was gonna get
guaranteed.
We didn't get to it yet. Like it was 1 minute on the clock, maybe, man.
When you fouled out, did they say anything to you with the opposing team as you were walking off? Like, yeah, we got you out of here before you could give us the 30-30.
It was TJ McConnell after the game. He started, you know, he dapped me up, laughed at me, but
TJ's good for that too. You know, he's good
laughed
for that.
At the one board away. Like, how much is that? That sting. Obviously, I used to hoop back in the day. The difference between 29 and 30 is. It's like a mile, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, and on the bench, got like B. Shaw, our assistant coach. He was telling me like, there's only like two or three guys that ever did it, like
since like the 80s.
Yeah. Like, so he was like you didn't want to do it, like, you know, he was messing with me. But I was sick on the bench. I was mad.
I appreciate it.
You got to do it again. Fuck it. You know what I mean?
That's why I was sick about like. You never know when you're going to get a chance for something
for sure.
Like that.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it took me, this is my year 7 in the league. And
But you're cooking this year. You're cooking. Best numbers you put up, which has got to be fucking awesome, huh?
Appreciate it. But, I would say I was mad at the ref. I was mad at me, at myself. I was mad at myself for fouling. I was mad at myself for not grabbing some rebounds before that. So,
were you happy at all, though? You had 30 or 29, my G.
No, not until the next day. On the bench, I was so mad, man. Right. Like, I was not happy at all. Like, I wanted that 30 and 30 so bad. But, you know, a day after I cooled down, like.
For sure.
It got to my head.
Yeah.
Fucking 29 boards.
Ain't bad. Good day at the office.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Were you glancing up during, like, did you know the moment you fouled out you were on 29, or did you look up as you were walking? You did.
I knew it.
Are you keeping stats in your head, or are you glancing up?
I keep points in my head.
Okay.
Usually, you know, I only average like 10 points. That's
10 more than, 10 more than everybody on
the team. I was scoring 10
more than us combined in the league.
You know what I'm saying?
We have 0 points combined.
Yeah.
You know, it's not hard, but rebounds, I try to, but sometimes it's hard. You get mixed up. But,
they play you sometimes on the stat, because I used to keep points and rebounds in my head, then I would go check the book after. Sometimes you get haters, they don't understand the game. No, that was actually a rebound. I had control, it was a control tip, like, you know that's me? A rebound.
Yeah.
But it's all good. All
right, so you obviously go off. You're getting a lot of love from former Lakers teammates, Kuz, LeBron, both shouted you out. How did that kind of feel, that those guys still got an eye? Played with them a long time ago, that they're still watching and rooting for you and stuff like that.
It felt good, man. I think, you know, Kuz, I stay in touch with him. Kuz is a great guy.
Yeah,
you know, we've been together from the start. I got in here before him, but I was there when he got drafted and, you know, saw him going from late first-round pick to becoming, like, he was a man. Like, his first year, second year, he was hooping with, you know, the whole city was – Everyone was
fired up.
Kuz.
Yeah, for sure.
When we had that young team, like we didn't win a lot of games, but you know, Kuz was the man. But
18 a game, I think.
When you saw Kuz obviously come in, when did he make that fashion switch? Was he always dressing like that, or was there a moment when he just rolled in the locker room one day and he had
ported either? You're not a fan.
The elongated sleeves and all the other stuff going on.
I mean, I wouldn't wear it, but. You know, everyone got their own thing.
Kuz,
my 100%. Guy. You know, I respect it. No, he wasn't like that always, like dressing up like that, especially not coming in as a rookie. But he made a – I don't know when he made a switch, but, you know, he didn't start like – like he's dressing right now. You know, yeah, it was progression a little
so bit. So I knew Westbrook when he was at UCLA, and UCLA Westbrook and the fits he was getting off versus he got to the league, it was night and day in terms of
Different money though.
Once that new bag came in, it was like, ooh,
dressed like you know, I can't afford it.
Pleather and all that good stuff.
The money gets into it, design, like you know, you get stylists, you know, hit you up. You think about maybe, you know, I should get a stylist, then stylist starts.
Have you thought about it?
No. I'm not really fucking into with it. I'm not into it, but you know.
By respect, man, you got the sweatsuit. These are fits
that are cozy as hell, you feel me?
I'm all about comfort level.
So obviously Kuz and Bron are watching you know what I mean? Do you watch old teammates? I know like Kuz is going crazy. SGA is having a god tier season right now, you feel me?
I watch a lot of NBA, you know. When you're an NBA player, you got a lot of free time, especially on the road. You get somewhere. You got a whole day off. There's always games on, so I watch a lot of games and I follow all the guys. Guys have been having good years. A lot of my old teammates having a great year so far.
Kawhi said he doesn't watch basketball and that he just watches film. You know what I mean? Is that not interesting?
I think a lot of guys are like that. Okay. You know, we're so, like, there's so much basketball around us, like, so much film, so much scouting, so much practicing, so many games in a year that guys, you know, when they go home, not everyone want to
That makes sense.
You know, they want to spend their time somehow else.
So who's a guy in the league now? Obviously, I know you love the Clippers, but who's a guy in the league now when they are playing? You're going to turn that game on and give it a look.
The team, I watch a lot of Lakers games because I play for them.
Okay. You still right? Okay.
I grew up as a Laker fan, so I watch a lot of Laker games. Whatever's on, I try to see the best, like try to find the best game.
I'll ask when SGA, he's having this unbelievable year. Yeah. Firsthand, did you know this was coming, or has it even surprised you the levels that he's hitting now?
I mean, when I got traded to the Clippers, and I got to play with him, I could see that he was talented, but I didn't expect him to be this good.
Yes.
You know, even the first year when he got traded to OKC, he played great. After that first year with OKC, you know, he made a step up every year, and you know, I'm not surprised by this.
You mentioned the Lakers trade. You mentioned you were a Lakers fan growing up. What was your first reaction to when they traded you? Like, did it sting? What was kind of your first thoughts that went through your mind?
For sure. I was living the dream, you know. You get drafted by the team that
you were a fan of.
That you supported always. You was a fan and grew up a big Kobe fan. It was great to me. I didn't get to play a lot in the first 2 years, but that third year, I didn't start, you know, I didn't start the season I didn't play much to start the season, but after 2 months, I finally found a spot in rotation, and you know, playing with LeBron, playing with Rondo, it was easy for me. I was having a great season, like I was playing with all those guys, and then you get traded, and it sucks. But
there was obviously the quote that came out kind of like a year later that Clippers brass basically laughed. Yeah. How easily they got you.
Yeah.
Did they tell you when you came over?
When I got traded, Doc called me, Lawrence Frank, our president, called me, Steve Ballmer called me, and they were happy they got me.
Individual, or were they on the same call together? Was it like a group call?
Individual.
Okay,
each
one?
Yeah.
And did you just pick up right away? Like you knew what the numbers are?
I didn't know the numbers, but you know, I was picking up because it was before it went public.
Okay.
So, you know, I knew it was probably, you know, some people from the Clippers calling, but no, they were all happy to have me. They said they couldn't believe I was available for the trade, and you know, that they think I'm their center for the future. They love my game. They're happy to have me, and that's kind of how it started.
You found out it was Mike Muscala. Were you like, what the fuck? Like, really? This nigga?
No.
You
feel me? Like, no, because
like for real magic.
Like for real?
Magic.
For real?
Magic.
You got going on in the Lakers,
watch the Lakers
organization?
That was my reaction. I was
like, no, because that year when I was on the Lakers, when we played Philly, Mike Muscala was on Philly. He probably had his best game of that year against us. And, you know, he went off. And, like, I never kind of – after that, like, I didn't follow him as closely. So
because he's not good.
No Mike Muscala slander. But you know the rule.
I mean, I gotta ask you. You're going back to the Lakers thing. Your first year with the Lakers, right? You're in LA. There's a lot going on. Obviously, a lot went on within that team that year. As a rookie, you obviously can't go into some details, but what was it like with the D'Lo and Nick Young situation and just sort of some of the chaos for you to walk into as a young rookie player?
I mean, it happened a year before me, okay. So everyone thought Nick Young is getting traded and because of that situation and all the guys on the team. So the whole summer, you know, I was at the gym, guys were at the gym working out, and we'd never seen Nick, and we thought he was going to get traded a few days before training camp. That's the first time I saw him, and it was
he was enjoying himself, Nick. You feel me? I love Nick, Nick.
He probably thought he was going to get traded too.
Oh, okay, so, yeah. for sure. Yeah, I know that.
You know, it was interesting. It was,
a bit like you're kind of holding your breath, a little tense?
Yeah. It was a little tension, but I didn't feel like it was bad as, you know, media and fans thing as it was. It it was probably worse the year before.
Got it.
But still, you know, I think there was a little tension, yeah, for sure.
How was it being on the team with Nick, though? I mean, he's been so much fun. We've had him on the show a couple times.
He's amazing.
Nick's so funny, man.
He's wild.
I never seen that man not smile. Like he's always cracking up jokes. He's always like got that positive attitude. He doesn't take a lot of stuff seriously. It was great.
As a rookie, did he have you doing anything as like rookie initiation type stuff? Because obviously, when he came into the league, he had to deal with Gil.
Yeah.
And so did he?
Nick, he wasn't that hard. Like, I mean,
he learned. He didn't want to pass that over.
Really?
Hot wings.
What did he have you do?
I mean, we always had to carry a snack bag on the road, like a bag with, you know, you got to ask every teammate what kind of snack they want at the beginning of the season, and you got to stock it up before every road.
And what does Lou Will ask you for?
I can't remember, man. It was a long time, but we was buying all me. It was me and Brandon Ingram. And then, you know, forget something, like they hit you up 3 a.m. on the road somewhere. You don't have it. You got to go to CVS. Like you got to
get that zero bar.
Are you picking the phone up? Because I'd just be like, "Nah, sorry, I missed it, dog." Like I'll see you in the morning.
You gotta pick it up.
Shit ain't sweet like that.
Brian Comedy going straight to voicemail, bro. I was busy, dog. I was doing some things.
Not like that. You got to pick it up.
Nah, I feel you. Man. So I want to ask: when you got traded, did you switch cribs? Like, did you have a Laker crib? You're like, I'm switching to the Clipper crib now.
No, because
I can't fuck with this Laker crib no more. Did you change the interior posters? Like, nah, I need a new couch. I can't. Like, nah.
I kept it all the same because, like, Lakers and Clippers facility are only, like, 10 minutes away from each other.
For sure.
So I was somewhere in between, so it was perfect location for me. Like, all the guys that I played with, they said that was the easiest trade ever. Like,
nah, shit.
And the crazy part is I was with the Lakers in Boston. We was getting ready to play Celtics, and I get traded on a game day. So the Clippers, the Lakers call me. They say, you're going to the Clippers. And I look up Clippers schedule. Next day, they're coming to Boston.
Okay.
So I get to stay in Boston, too. I didn't even have to go anywhere to play.
I feel like that's good and bad, you know, but, you know, having to stay in Beantown, but all gravy.
Last thing I want to ask, as far as Lakers go, LeBron obviously comes in that your last year with the Lakers. What was it like your first meeting with him as a teammate?
It was crazy. I was actually, when he signed for the Lakers, I was back in Europe playing with my national team in some qualifiers for the – I don't know what it was exactly, but we signed him. I was super happy. And a few weeks later, I come in. I go back to L.A. And the night before I'm going to the facility, I'm thinking, like, you know, we got LeBron's going to be in. I got to be the first guy in the gym.
Oh,
you know, I wake up super early. I walk into facility. He's already in the weight room lifting. And that was crazy to me. So I walked in, not knowing what I'm going to say to him.
We're nerves.
Whatever. Yeah. And then he just starts yelling, "Zoo," from
there.
From
we go. Oh, big Z.
The, from the other end of the facility, and you know, he comes up, hugs me. He's like, "How's, you know, how's Croatia? So you play with the national team a little wow. bit, you know." He knew all the stuff, so I was impressed, man. It was
so he really knew, because LeBron, I don't know if you've seen lately, he's kind of had a reputation for capping. That's the rumor in the world. Yeah. He's leaning into it. He has fun with it.
Toyous capper.
But you know, I feel like he's really reading those books. He's really doing all his due diligence. So he really knew everything about you before you pulled up on him.
I think so. I mean, it sounded real, but he you know, he knew I was with the national team. Yeah. He knew I played a few games, and you know, he didn't go into details like, oh, you should have did this,
on right,
this,
right,
whatever. But he knew I was there over there playing for the national team. He knew we won the game, for sure. So it was cool.
So guys, LeBron, he wears do-rags sometimes after games. Does he have like a do-rag, like storage facility in the Lakers locker room, or are they fresh new do-rags? Like what's going on with the do-rags?
I never needed, so I don't know about the storage.
You never thought about putting one on? No. You could, honestly, you could get it off. I think you get the do-rag off.
I don't know. But I don't know about the storage.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Got to ask you, your best year to date, right? You cooking. You know, you're fourth in the league in rebounds per game. What sort of brought about this kind of year for you, and how well you're playing? Like, were there changes you made this offseason? Obviously, you've kind of grown to this. So it was somewhat expected for people, like, you know, Chuck, longtime Clippers fan.
Our zoologist, as we call him. Yeah, knows
our resident
a lot about Zubats. And,
you
know,
one of the best centers in the league right now. So what was it that you kind of added to your game kind of over these summers to hit these levels?
I don't think it was something like I added to my game. I mean, I try to add stuff every summer, and you know, when you're playing on a team like Clippers, they got a lot of veterans and a lot of scorers, and everyone got their role. Like, you can't really step out of your role and, you know, do something that you're not supposed to on the floor. So I keep adding stuff. You know, fans might not see it yet, but you know, hopefully one day I'll get to show it. But
they saw it the other night.
Yeah, right. 30-29, we saw a lot. You know what I'm saying?
But no, I think it's just confidence and experience. Been doing it for a while now, being a starting center, and this the year, like, they finally let me play a lot of minutes. Like, last couple of years, I've been playing like 20 to 25 minutes, and I always thought of myself, with minutes I can get better numbers, I can be better. You know, some guys just play better with more minutes, and so I thought I was one of those guys, and this year I'm finally getting that playing time, and I get to show what I can do.
Right on.
So Chuck, biggest Clipper fan next to Clipper Daryl, you know what I mean? You feel me?
Is Clipper Daryl really a Clipper fan, or is he pandering?
I don't know.
I think he just likes the bag.
I don't know. He saw an opportunity.
He just jumped in.
He said he thinks you're one of the top five centers in the league. How do you feel about that?
I appreciate it a lot.
I agree. We broke it down. I agree.
I appreciate it a lot, man. I don't focus on, you know, top whatever centers, but I think what I bring to the table is a little different than some other guys. I might not bring all the scoring, you know, some guys do, but I think I bring you a lot of defense, you know, rim protection, rebounding, getting my teammates open, communicating on defense, being that anchor, you know, trying to help everyone out. That's the stuff I bring, and you know, it might not be the points and every night, but every night I'll try to go out there, protect the rim for you, you know, have your back, get all the rebounds, get my teammates open with the screens. And, you know, it's up to the people to discuss whatever.
Okay.
But,
right.
The resident Zuel.
Tyronn Lue brought up, like, running offense through you more. You know what I mean? He brought that up. You know, how do you feel about that?
I feel great. I mean, especially when we're missing guys.
For sure.
Missing guys.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we struggle to score because, you know, there's so many guys in and out of the lineups every night. It's, you know, we need some consistency. So if that's what they need from me. You know, I can definitely do it. And I think I showed when we one day when the coach went to it and when we went to it, I can do it.
So guys like to talk shit in the league. Obviously, that's well documented. Are you ever talking shit back to him in Croatian? Because if I'm guarding you, I don't know what you're saying. I'm gonna spend more time. No, it's gonna really fuck with my head. Like, what is he saying to me right now? He might be clowning me.
I'll talk my shit in English.
There we go. Let him know.
I want them to understand me. You know?
That's real.
I want them to feel you.
You know, when I get mad at something and no one's talking shit to me, but when I'm mad, I start talking shit in Croatian.
Okay.
I'm kind of talking to myself.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Or to the refs. I don't want the refs to understand.
Are the refs ever nearby and like, yo, what you saying, dog? Like,
no, they don't pay attention to it. I guess they don't even record that I'm saying anything because it's in a different language. But
that's the move.
Yeah.
How surprised you'd be if one hit you with the tech when you said something about the ref? That right. Like, they'd looked it up. They knew all the bad words. How shocked would you be?
I would be very shocked. it's a hard language, but there's so many guys in the league from from that area where I'm from Balkans, you know, Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, Slovenia. So I'm sure they've been hearing it a lot.
You know? They know a little bit.
So let's talk about your Clippers teammates just a little bit. We've got to talk about Kawhi Leonard. Now, Kawhi is one of the most, I think, fascinating human beings on the planet, right?
Yeah.
Never know what's going on in his dome. Like, you know, we've heard rumors and rumblings that he loves apples and things like that. I know it's fake, but it's real to me, damn it. It's real to me. Board man get paid, all that other good stuff. So what is the biggest misconception about Kawhi that people don't know? Because from the outside, I think he's, you know, obviously he wants to get back in court. He wants to play. Everybody's kind of bitching at him now about low management or whatever. But this is a guy who I know loves basketball wants to be out there. So what do you think is the biggest misconception that people have about Kawhi?
I mean, the first question everyone asked me is, he a fun guy? Like,
does he turn up?
Yeah.
Like, once nobody's around.
Hell yeah, okay.
No, Kawhi's a great guy. Like, he's normal guy like everyone else. I know it's hard for people to imagine that, but yeah. Like, he just don't like, you know, talking to media.
Sure.
He don't like his stuff out out there. Like, everyone thinks it's load managing the games he's missing now. Like, he was actually hurt.
ACL
is one of the toughest injuries out there, and he wanted to make sure he comes back 100%. And we support him 100%. We're behind him, and whatever it takes, we know that's our guy. That's if we want to win a championship, we need it healthy. So we're behind him 100%. We're out there trying to hold it up until he gets back. And
for sure,
that's it. Yeah.
Talk about missing Kawhi. Like, how important is that, him and PG coming back?
It's big, man. I mean. Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to be chip time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hell yeah. Like, if we want to win a chip, like, we got to get healthy. We got to play together. We got to get into some rhythm. We got to build some consistency. We got to figure out the way we want to play. You know, it's hard. It's hard with guys being injured at the same time. You can't rush anyone back. Yeah. The league is so, the schedule is so hard. Like, you got so many games, the rhythm is crazy. You don't want to rush anyone into getting back too soon. For sure, there are two biggest pieces, and they're both great two-way players, one of the best in the league, and come playoff times, we can't do much without them. I mean, we got a lot of great guys, but if we want to win that championship, we need them. So we can't wait for them to come back, and so we can try to build that chemistry on the court, try to build some consistency.
Ty Lue is obviously considered one of the best people in the NBA. What's it like having a coach like as good as he is?
Yeah,
managing guys being out, superstars being out, getting everyone more minutes, helping you hit those extra levels that you know you can hit, but bringing that out of you. What's that like, getting to play for Ty Lue?
It's great, man. Before he started coaching, he was assistant for a year before he got hired for the head coaching job. And that's kind of when I saw that he's really good. Like, a lot of people, don't like to give him credit for that championship he won
right.
in Cleveland. But he's a great coach, man. He sees the game differently. He's so good at adjusting to the to the other teams in game. Like, people can't catch up that quick. Like, he's special in that regard. And what he's been doing with us, like, when we're missing all those guys and we're still, you know, fighting in every game, we're still one of the best teams in the West. Mm-hmm. And even last year, like, Kawhi was out whole year, PG missed like 50 games, and you know, we still had a winning record. We didn't make the playoff spot in that play-in, but I feel like he's not getting enough credit for a coach he is.
So when we talk about Ty Lue, obviously, you know, there was reports before he came to the Clippers that the Lakers were going to sign him, but they didn't pony up with the bread. Obviously, you got traded by the Lakers.
Yeah.
Is there any extra motivation for both of y'all two to bust the Lakers' ass every time you see him on the schedule? Just like, all right, that's how y'all wanted to do me? I mean, I got to give you this work. That's just what it is.
For sure. I mean, I'm sure it is for him. Like, I know Ty Lue for a while now. It is for sure. And for me, for sure, that was my team growing up, and they traded me. So, like, it's always personal when you play them. You always want to beat them. You always want to show them, like, you know, you should have never traded me, and stuff like that. So you always want to prove yourself. You want to prove that you're, you know, you're good, and you always want to win.
So I also, so Steve Ballmer grew up in Seattle. He coached me when I was in, like, fourth grade. So we've both been – part of a Steve Ballmer basketball team.
Did you drive the red van? I wonder.
He drove like a Lincoln Town car. Like, you would have had no idea.
Yeah.
Nicest guy in the world. What's it been like playing for him as an owner? And what's it been like playing for Steve versus playing for the Buss family?
I mean, I feel like the biggest difference is, like, Steve is always there. Like, he's courtside. He's going crazy. He's celebrating after the games. He's going to get in the locker room, give a crazy speech to the team, you know, go crazy in the locker room. On the road, like, he tries to go on most of the road games. If he's not there, he's going to text you. He's going to call you. It's, like, it's very, like, family-like. Yeah. So, it's been great. Steve's a great owner. He's old, like, whatever we need, even outside of basketball, he's there. He's the man, yeah.
And is he ever, like, way too turned up? You're like, my nigga, you got to chill out a little bit, dog. Steve.
Is he like B. at all times?
Always on 100? Really?
All the time.
When he was our youth basketball coach, we'd be up by 40, and the parents would be like, Steve, you got to take kids out. Like, you can't. It's getting ugly. And he's like, you think it's not? They're not going to come back. It's either fourth graders. It's a 40-point game. And he's like, fine.
You never know. You never know.
Right.
A lot like of love.
You got to teach some kids about life.
All the time, yeah.
You went 32nd overall in your draft. There were, I believe, was it two or three Croatian players taken ahead of you?
Yeah, two.
Was it, what was that extra money? You knew exactly.
One fact, bro.
I think I know all the names in the order of the draft class.
And there were centers that went ahead of you.
Right, you got to know. We need to, you know, go ahead and name those players.
Like,
we need that.
You want the centers or?
Whatever you want to give us, my G. That's crazy.
Give us the centers if you can.
Centers, so. First, it was, I think it was Sabonis. Then it was Pirtle. Then there was, like, your Papayannis for Sacramento, 13th. I mean, Bender and Marquise Chris went 4 and 5, I think, or 4 and 6. I'm not sure. Hernan Gomez, Yabusele.
He knows.
Were you just watching, like, all right, one more motherfucker don't
draft there.
One more you motherfuckers don't draft me.
All of them now. I was like,
yeah.
One of you motherfuckers, one more you motherfuckers don't draft me.
It's always extra motivation. I was there for the draft night. I was sitting, I was not in a green room. I was not invited, so I was in a stance. And to get to the, like, till the 32nd pick, it took like a good 4 or 5 hours. Yeah. So I was over there.
Mad.
Annoyed, mad. Yeah. Like, no, I wanted to go home. I was in my suit waiting on, you know, waiting for my name to be called. But it's always extra motivation. I thought even coming into the draft, I was supposed to be drafted higher than most of those guys. But
you should have been.
I mean, only a few are still in the league. You couldn't even keep it a stack, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's always extra motivation. But it worked out perfectly for me. You know, I wanted to go coming from Europe, I wanted to go straight to the NBA. I didn't want to get drafted and some team stash me in Europe
and you
know, forget about me or whatever. I want to go straight to the league, and Lakers said we can do that. So it's
right on. When that call comes in, at that point, is it relief or excitement? Like, you relief that you're like, finally, it's done?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, it was excitement for me because, like, even, like, 10 picks before me, I knew out they're going to pick me if I'm available.
Yeah.
Because they told us, yeah. So I knew about it, but you know, I was just praying no one else select me, because there was so many teams in the late first round interested in me, but they all wanted to stash me in Europe. So I was just praying no one select
me. Right on.
So you get drafted by the Lakers, obviously, you get to come to LA. You know, everybody, when they come to L.A., they have that moment where they see kind of their first famous person. So who was, if you remember, who was the first famous person that you saw? You were like, oh, damn, this is what Hollywood is really all about.
I don't know. I don't remember. There was so many of the Lakers games. Like,
for sure. That makes sense. Yeah. But,
have you ever dapped up Jack Nicholson?
No.
Really?
Really?
No.
I feel like I don't
feel like he was at a lot of our games when we, you know, we weren't that good.
He wasn't
like,
rocking with y'all?
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh, that's no. What you said, but you ain't. But whatever, though.
He might have been shooting a movie.
I'm playing. People were not interested at us, like, the year, less than my third year when LeBron came over. That's when, it, you know, it kind of started.
Get a lot more
so you, so sure, you noticed. Sure. So people tried to switch up on you, basically, from once LeBron came. Oh, we rock with y'all now.
I'm not going
to
name no name, okay. But, you know.
A lot more texts for tickets, but, right?
Hell yeah. You know, people are like, hey, can you get me a LeBron signed jersey? No.
Fuck no.
If he did that, like, he would be signing jerseys for
you. Yeah. But one for me first, I could slang it.
We've asked a lot of guys that have come through, but what was your, like, welcome to the league moment? Like, someone maybe busted your ass or something, like, where you're like, God, this is a little different than what I've had to do before.
So it was actually in summer league. I got dunked on by Jeremy Grant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was bad. He gave me a black eye. So, you know, I couldn't even hide it. So.
Wait, so how did
you got to you got to play with the tinted goggles? Eye.
Like, how did that happen?
I remember the play. Like, so he was on the wing. They were bringing the ball up. I was low man. My guy was in the dunker.
Okay.
So I look at my man for a second, and I turned around. He back cut Brandon Ingram back door.
You knew.
And you knew what time it was exactly.
I didn't even jump. He just jumped over me, man. And I don't know if he hit me with his elbow or the knee. I'm not sure. I didn't like. I was dizzy for like a few seconds. I swear.
Did Brandon Ingram apologize at least?
Yeah. Like,
My bad, big fella.
You're a stand-up dude, B.I.
I was going to say, anytime you hear someone get dunked on, the person who gets dunked on always knows whose man got, like, who got beat.
Right.
The guy that got them set up for that.
You see so many times. Like, after that, you see the dunk. Like, you got to know. But
do you feel like that moment, it helped mold you? Because obviously, like, that's an embarrassing moment, but you can go two ways from that, right? You can go down or you can go up.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't take much from it. Like, it happens, like, you know, you get dunked on, but it was kind of like my second summer league game, so it happened pretty quick.
Get it out of the way early.
Yeah, I got it out of the way, you know. I got it out of the way, but welcome to the league was like the real moment was I think we played Hawks in they had Dwight Howard.
Ooh. And it was chocolate,
like,
shoulders.
It was like sixth game of the season. First five games, I was inactive. So I was not even dressing up. Okay. And so we played in Indiana. I was in locker room because I was not even dressing up. And Mozgov, he was our starting center at the time.
Bag finesse champ.
Yeah. I ain't mad at him. He was solid. I think old boy messed his career, but whatever.
I think he, I don't know, he got hit. He had a concussion, whatever. So we get after the game, we go straight to Atlanta, and I get a call from Luke Walton. He's like, "You're starting tomorrow."
Oh, did you want to start? I don't know. It seemed like
I wanted to play, but like when
I didn't want to jump in the deep end.
When he's not on the court, that's what. Let me get my minutes in, Luke.
Right.
But he was like, "You're starting," and you know, it was Dwight Howard. That's one of the guys like I really looked into, like.
Yeah,
coming growing up, mm-hmm. He was one of my favorite bigs in the league, and I was sweating. Like, Lou Will made so much fun of me in the locker room for sweating. Like, I had that scouting report holding like this, like 2 hours before the game, going through it. It's like, it's not gonna change, bro. Like,
the work is coming. You feel
yeah,
me?
Like,
it's gonna change.
Meanwhile, Lou's eating his hot wings. Now I'm about to go drop this quick.
Gonna drop 20 real quick,
and then. You know, we started the game, and I actually scored first four points of the game. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was like this smooth.
This sweet.
Yeah. And then Dwight had like 33 and 15, something like crazy.
How many did you catch of that 33?
Not a lot.
Okay. That's important. There we go.
Pass
that.
Right. I passed that on. Right, now you got him. Right, you got him.
Right. That was my welcome to the league. Like he was messing with me. Like he would just put his hand on my hip. Like just like I couldn't move. Like he was just messing. Right. Yeah, he was messing with me.
He seemed like he got like sharp elbows. Like you know what I mean. And
not a fun.
Yeah. Right. Not a fun guard. Who is the toughest person to guard, toughest big for you to guard in the league? Who's the guy you're like, yo, I'm just going to
see it on the calendar.
A long night, right? You know what I mean?
Right now, Embiid probably.
Oh, that makes sense. I get it.
I mean, Embiid, Jokic, like.
Yeah.
Like, with Jokic, is different. Embiid's like, he's just so big and strong and like, you know what's up with him. But like, with Jokic, you get put through so much stuff that you don't get put through as a big. Like they set picks for him, like he's handling the ball in pick and roll, they set a rip screens for him, he's coming off of pin downs. Like as a big, you're not used to that kind of stuff.
How annoying is that for you as a big to have to deal with that?
I hate that.
Yeah, I'm gonna be real,
you're doing it guarding Joker, you feel me?
And he plays super hard. Like he plays so hard, like he never takes possessions off, so like you can't relax with him. Al Jefferson, my first year in the league, he gave me some work. Yeah,
That's
a blast from the past.
Right.
Yeah.
Playing overseas, coming over here, what was kind of the biggest difference as far as the game went for you?
Spacing is crazy. Like the 3 seconds, 3 seconds in the paint on defense makes such a big difference. Yeah. Like you can't clog up the paint, and you know, you got so many shooters on the court. The spacing is crazy.
Playing overseas versus the NBA, which did you encounter kind of more dirty plays? Like in the paint? Like guys catching with a bow? Overseas. Yeah, I figured.
It's not even
less
close.
Less cameras, less – yeah.
It's not even close.
What kind of stuff are they doing?
You don't want to know.
I already know.
I do want to know. No, but Luka talked about how it was easier to get buckets over here. Do you feel the same?
Yeah.
It's that much easier.
It is. Yeah. Like – it's the spacing, man. The spacing is crazy, and there's like it's much more physical back in Europe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, the game is more physical.
Can I ask you if they switch the All-Star format to Team International versus Team USA? Do you think International is winning?
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's not a bad answer.
They probably gonna cook us.
No, Steph. Steph LeBron won't let that happen. No.
Steph and LeBron gonna get smoked now, bro.
Stop it.
The league looking different right now.
I ain't got it.
I love LeBron, but it ain't it, bro.
Hey, cool. I'm chilling. I ain't playing. I ain't got it right now.
Right.
International got it.
Yeah, I did too. I gotta ask you. It's a basketball show, obviously. World Cup's going on. Croatia advancing. Do you know any of the guys on the Croatian team? How's it been for you watching it? You know, are you fired up about them advancing? Yeah.
No. I know a few guys. Met some of them in L.A. when there were, you know, a lot of good European teams got like preseason games in L.A.
International Cup.
Yeah. So met a few guys over here. I know some guys from over there. It's a small country, so, you know, I feel like all the, you know, high-profile players, they know each other.
Yeah.
Like NBA guys, best soccer players. But Croatia, we've been doing good. I think, you know, we were second in the world, last World Cup, so we got big expectations. But, you know, Belgium, it was tough. Belgium is a great team, so I got a little nervous at the end. You know, it was exciting. We survived it, and you know, we go on and play Japan.
Can I ask? We went and did like a man on the street thing. Asked people kind of all over LA, which is more difficult, penalty kick or free throw? And to you, which would it be, penalty kick or free throw?
Penalty, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, because like there's a guy trying to stop you.
Yeah, so fair.
Imagine Dwight Howard underneath the hoop trying to block your shit on free throws. Trying to beat that shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, the hoop is a, you know, a smaller target. Thicks, so, yeah. You know, but you know, there's no defense or anything. You know, in soccer, it's a big target, but there's a goalkeeper trying to, you know, prevent you.
Last international thing I wanted to hit. Giannis put together his all-international team, and it was – Luka, Evan Fournier, Giannis, Nikola Jokic, and Embiid. Any changes you would make to that squad?
Yeah. I would just exchange Fournier for Bojan Bogdanovic.
Okay.
I was thinking you was going to say, I'm taking Joker, one of them dudes, I'll put myself on there.
I thought I was going to be Shay.
Yeah, I mean,
Canada's barely. Like,
I mean, but it is, though,
yeah,
right?
Like, Canada, I don't taking those international, you know. They got a team in NBA, so.
Okay, you're right. There we go.
Shea got to get in there if we count in Canada.
He's mocking me. Canada is international. They don't even have the same dollar.
It's a different nation.
It's a whole ass other country.
All right, before we get you out of here, we want to do a rapid fire segment with you. You can pass on any questions you want. You know, I mean, we want you to be as honest as possible. Yeah. All right. So, favorite places to eat in LA?
Catch.
Okay, cool. Wait. Good take.
Before we wrap it, have you ever been to Popeyes?
No.
Oh, we got to take Popeyes.
Oh, yeah, we got to tap
Roscoe's? Have you been to Roscoe's? Chicken and waffles?
Yeah.
Oh, for real. Okay. Roscoe's kind of cap.
You all right with me?
The waffles are not that good.
Whoa.
They're not that good.
They're soggy, bro. Ain't no tripping. They soggy, bro.
You got to eat them fresh. You can't take them to the crib.
Roscoe's. You going back to Roscoe's?
I only did it once. So I would go back.
Okay. But you got to eat once, though.
You got to eat the waffles in the restaurant.
Bro, I'll be doing it.
They're like weenie ties. They're like weenie ties.
Y'all be so thirsty about this LA shit. It's not good, bro. All right. Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out?
Waffles Lander.
Chick-fil-A, I'll say. Oh. I love In-N-Out, but it's
Chick-fil-A. You know,
we do Chick-fil-A every time we go on a trip. So yeah. It's
comfort food.
Why do y'all like Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A fire, bro.
You know In-N-Out?
Exactly what you're gonna get. Bro, Chick-fil-A is they don't make any mistakes, bro. And you know what you're gonna get. It's good. But y'all tripping.
Just because you know what you're going, you just hated on waffles.
Homers, y'all.
You just hated on Roscoe's waffle. I'm a
burgers or pizza, Evita. I didn't even mean to do that.
That was so corny. Cut that shit.
No, leave
it.
Keep
it.
Keep
it. I was trying to cut away. That just happened, man. Damn. But
you've been a dad for too long now.
Bro, man, that's that old man in me. You feel me?
I'll say burgers.
Okay, cool. Tacos or wings?
Tacos.
NBA fans or overseas fans?
Overseas fans.
Okay. Post a dunk or blocking a dunk attempt?
Blocking a dunk.
Okay. Overseas goal, Dirk or Hakeem? Don't you lie.
Arvidas a bonus.
That's a good one, too.
Bruh.
I love Dirk, but Hakeem is my
you
favorite.
You a real one.
Ever.
Yeah, good answer.
Damn, you are one of the realest human beings we've ever had on this show.
All right, Hakeem
never gets love.
But Hakeem, bro, never.
He was like 6'10 doing that shit. Like, what are we talking about?
I think he's the most killed player that ever played the game.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's real.
What's your favorite Croatian curse word?
Come on, man.
Drop it off.
Hey, we are trying to expand our knowledge because we added to our vocabulary.
This ain't even on there. I just asked.
We'll yell it at the rest.
Right. A lot of good ones. I ain't going to say which one.
Okay. I'm at.
We're going to learn some. We're going to pull up to a Clipper game.
Right.
You're not even going to know we're there. We're just going to start yelling out.
Then we're going to drop the fucking next one.
You should have pulled up two and make me pick. But
right, okay, my bad. Okay.
We're really lucky. There are a lot of unbelievable bucket getters right now. Who is sort of the guy for you right now? Must-see TV. Wherever you are, you're going to maybe put on your phone. Who is the bucket getter you have to watch?
KD.
KD.
Hey, I love
it. That's a great answer.
It's easy.
It's a great answer.
I
love it.
I remember us playing him a few years ago in the playoffs with the Clippers. And, you know, they had all those guys. And he didn't start off the series great. Like, media was on him every day. Like, and before, I think, I can't remember was game 5 or game 6. I think it was game 6. And media kind of, like, they were asking him some bullshit questions, like, questioning him.
Yeah.
And he was like, y'all know who I am?
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
And he came out next game, he scored 50.
Did you get any one of those 50 points?
None.
Are you staying out the way? Stay out the way.
That was sick. Like, we put everyone on him. We tried every defense. Like, he didn't even dribble. Like, he was just pull. Like, he was just getting in the post, fade. Like, you can't do any. Like, he's 7 feet tall. And the stuff he does on the court is crazy. So
I remember Pat Bev was talking big shit, too. That series was going back and forth.
Yeah.
And then that's the game he was just put his stamp on this motherfucker. Like, I'm me. You
so this guy, he was probably thinking, like, why am I drilling? I'm just going to shoot over him.
Right.
We tried everyone on him. Every player on the roster.
That smoke.
Except you, though, right? You were like, I'm good. No, thank you.
I'll let y'all handle that.
Can I ask, when you're sitting there and you see that clip of him going, do you know who I am? Are you thinking, like, he's going to go for 50?
50 ball.
I mean, I didn't think he was going to go for 50, but I was a little scared.
Yeah, I
just didn't like media, you know, poking him.
Right.
I didn't like that because I knew we was in trouble after that. But again, like seeing that live, it was crazy.
Talking about another lengthy shooter, Wimby. You've watched him play, right? What do you think about him coming into the league next year?
I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you have work ready for him, though?
Catch him in the post, big body, you feel me?
I mean, yeah, but you got to stop him.
Yeah,
you gotta,
fair.
I got to figure out that part. But
when you tell the story, I would just tell your side of it. I had like 25.
He's so big and long, like long wingspan. He moves like a guard.
Right.
Handles. He can shoot it like off the dribble, whatever. I don't think he's like watching the highlights and the games. I don't feel like he's afraid of the contact.
Right.
You got some guys being that tall and skinny, like afraid getting into the paint, you know, afraid of getting hit. I feel like, you know, he's going playing through the contact. So I feel like he got a really bright future.
Who y'all putting on him? Kawhi or PG?
On Wimby?
I mean, well, who else going to guard him? You got to guard like a guard.
I put Team Man on him all day.
Okay, for
because
sure.
Because he do whatever.
Nico Batum.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's why you play basketball and I just talk shit.
But, you got to be Batum. Batum, guards 1-5.
For sure.
And you like put him on the five. He's going to play the five. Victor going to play the five. So he's going to be in a lot of pick and rolls. So with Nico, you can switch those pick and rolls.
For sure.
You know, you can't really get advantage on a pick and pop. So.
And he can talk shit to him in French.
Yes.
It's important.
Very important.
Nobody else knows what's going on.
All right, that's the show. I'm the Jethro Jenkins. Appreciate you, Avisa.
Appreciate you having me.
God bless you.
Thank you for coming through. I'm Zach Schwartz. You can get any of these episodes on YouTube. You can get them on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit the subscribe button, like the episode, comment anything we missed. If you got any questions for him, maybe he'll come back and answer them.
He's not answering shit y'all have to say. You're the next thing smoking.
You feel me?